In this passage of scripture, we're going to look at Joseph in prison. Joseph in prison. And as we already mentioned tonight, Joseph finds grace in the eyes of the guard, and he is placed in charge of the prison. He's managing that prison, or he's an administrator or a steward. And we know from the testimony of Joseph, from wherever he was thriving, right? Wherever he was successful. And we notice that he was a man who was trustworthy. We notice that he was a man who was honest. And ultimately, Joseph was a man of great faith. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 22, which is often called the Faith Hall of Fame or the faith chapter of the Bible, the Bible says this about Joseph. It says, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Joseph said that when I die and when the children of Israel were to enter into the promised land, they were to carry his bones with them. And so Joseph, we see that Joseph looked ahead at what God was going to do, right? And that was his pedigree. That was his testimony. And so he's sitting in the prison cell, and in Joseph's mind, all is not lost. There's still a dream that he had. And he's probably wondering, how is God going to accomplish this dream in his life? Now, remember this. When Joseph came into Egypt, when he arrived at Egypt, he was 17 years old. And when he stood before the Pharaoh, he was 30 years old. All right? Genesis chapter 41, verse 46 tells us that. And so all of these events, though we read through them in 3-4 Wednesdays, these are all spanning over 13 years. So for Joseph, this was a waiting game. This was trusting God, and this was seeing the hand of God even in times when he didn't understand. He had faith, trusting that the Lord had a plan. And so I want to mention this verse again, because I think it's key to our study when we talk about God is greater in his pathway. It's the Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. All things work together for good, right? It's not that all things are good. It's all things work together for good. And you know, Joseph being in prison wasn't a good thing. I mean, you know, being lied about was not a good thing. But as we read through the life and the story of Joseph, we begin to see how it all comes together. And we begin to see how these pieces are all placed together. And so now we begin chapter 40, and we see another chapter in Joseph's life. So the Bible says this in verse number 1, "And it came to pass." Now again, that small expression, "and came to pass," it means that this could have occurred. He's sitting in this prison cell. It could be for months or for years. Time had passed, and he's waiting on God. And yet Joseph is faithful in the place that God had placed him. He's serving, he's trusting, and we also see in a moment that he's caring for people. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 19 and verse 17. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities." You know, I think, and there's going to be a lot of practical truths in the life of Joseph, but I think one practical truth that all of us have to remember is to be faithful where we are. Be faithful where we are, and to be faithful with what we have. You know, if you're waiting for your circumstances to change before you serve God, if you're waiting for your circumstances to get better before you become faithful to the Lord, then it's not the right attitude to have. Wherever Joseph was placed, he was faithful, and he served, and he honored the Lord. And so as we move into chapter 4, we are introduced here to two new individuals to Joseph's life. We have, first of all, the royal baker, and we have the chief of butlers, or that would be a cupbearer. And the Bible says here in this passage of Scripture that in verse number 1, that they did something to offend their Lord. So the Bible teaches us here that the Pharaoh is angry because of something that these two individuals did. And we don't know what they did, but it was enough to land them in prison. And so the Bible says that they're thrown in prison. In verse number 2, the Bible says that the Pharaoh was wroth. He was very angry at their actions, at their deeds. And Joseph is introduced to these two officials. The baker, of course, was a cook in the palace. And the cupbearer's job was to drink the king's beverage first before the king drank it, and to make sure that no one was trying to kill him. It probably wasn't the best job to have, especially if the king or the pharaoh had lots of enemies, but your responsibility was to drink the beverage and make sure it was safe, and then if you didn't die, then the pharaoh would enjoy it. By the way, in the Bible, there's a popular cupbearer. Does anyone know his name? Nehemiah. Yeah, Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 talks about the fact that Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. And so that was his responsibility. His responsibility was to serve the king in that place. And so these two men were close to Pharaoh. I mean, they certainly were, they had a position of power. They could talk to the king. They could talk to the Pharaoh. They had his ear in anything that was happening. And so the Bible says in verse 3, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And so he was thrown, they both were thrown in the same prison as Joseph. Now, a couple of things. The word there, prison, there in the Hebrew, it means round house. I don't think that this is the prison that we would often think about, but it almost sounds like it's more of a house arrest, which had various rooms or various wards of prison areas. And Joseph is freely wandering around, and he's managing and administrating this prison. The Bible teaches us that Joseph is managing it for the captain of the guard. And so the captain of the guard trusts Joseph in the work that he did. Now, I do want to say this, that last week I didn't mention that Potiphar seemed to have compassion on Joseph because he threw him into the prison where the Bible says that men were bound, but it didn't sound like Joseph was bound. But then when we come to this passage of Scripture, it sounds like that Joseph is bound. But the idea of that passage of Scripture is the idea of being imprisoned or confined. And so I don't think that he's in shackles, bound in the way that we would think he was bound. Others have suggested as well that the original prison that Joseph was a part of is different from when we come to chapter 40, that he was placed in a different prison, that some have suggested that maybe Potiphar's wife was trying to still have advances toward Joseph and had him moved. Others have suggested that maybe Potiphar himself did not believe his wife but placed him in this better prison. All of that is conjecture. We don't really know. But we know that Joseph is freely moving because he comes and he talks to these individuals later in the chapter, though the Bible does say that he speaks of a dungeon, which people would talk about the fact that may have been the original place that he was placed in. And so, with all that being said, Joseph meets these two men in this prison. And we know that with God, there are no mistakes. And this indeed is, in fact, a divine appointment. It's a divine appointment. I think back at my life, and I think about the divine appointments that of people who have come into my life. I believe meeting my wife was a divine appointment. I mean, two shy people, one from Barrie and the other one from the middle of the end of the world. And, you know, we came together. And, you know, these are divine appointments. And God brings us to meet various people. I think of Kelly and Shelley. Kelly, you know, he came on a Sunday night after vacation Bible school looking for the boots of his daughter. And he didn't even know he had a Sunday night service, and we had a special speaker. Pastor Reason was preaching at the time, and we invited him to stay, and he heard the gospel, and he got saved. And shortly after, Shelley got saved. You know, that's a divine appointment, you know. And so I think that as we read this passage of Scripture, we think about the fact that here these two individuals are placed in the same prison as Joseph. God had this all worked out. This was God's working. This was God's plan. Let me say this. Sometimes the people we meet are not even people at all. You know, the Bible talks about the fact that we are sometimes entertaining strangers. Sometimes when we entertain strangers, they are actually angels unawares. And so God brings individuals along our pathway for a purpose. And I'm thankful for the guidance of God as he directs us. And so we see, first of all, in our scripture here, we see the intervention. So the Bible says in verse 4, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. Notice Joseph here, he's serving them, and they continued a season in ward. So Joseph, again, has the responsibility as an administrator in this prison, and he is a servant to the prison keeper. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 12, it talks about that. And so what is Joseph doing? Here comes these two individuals. They're thrown into prison because they made the Pharaoh very angry, and Joseph right away, he's assisting them. He's helping them. He's being a blessing to them. You know, I think a great way for us to get our mind off our own troubles is to help and invest people as they go through their own troubles. And you know, Joseph had a lot of things bad going on in his life. He could have been in the corner pouting and upset and bitter at everything that was happening. But here we see that Joseph is being a help and a blessing. And so we learn this, of course, from the Lord Jesus in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And, you know, if we are so self-consumed with our own lives and our own problems and our own difficulties, then we can lose out on blessings that God wants us to help and to minister to other people. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. So the Bible says here that they're in Joseph's life for a season, for a time. And God brought them to. We talk about Joseph. We talk about, you know, often we talk about the fact that this was a divine appointment for Joseph, but it was also a divine appointment for the baker and the butler. And we're going to learn about that in just a moment. I mean, again, I don't want to read into Scripture, but I'm sure Joseph talked about the living God to these individuals. So we see not only an intervention, but we see the interpretation. So the Bible says in Genesis chapter 14, verse 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, and each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. So both of these men, the Bible says here, in verse number 5, both of these men dreamed a dream. One man had a dream on one night, the other man had a dream on another night, and God brings them to the dreamer. God brings them to Joseph. And the Bible says in verse number 6, and Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. So Joseph, he comes in, and again, he's administrating the prison. He comes in to talk with them. And they're sad. The Bible says that, you know, they have a sad countenance. They're burdened about the dreams that they just had. In verse 7, the Bible says that he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" You know, why are you so sad? What has happened in your life? What is the burden that you're facing? Why are you blue? You know, you just don't know the burdens that people are facing, right? You know, you go into the grocery store and you grab some milk and some butter and the cashier snaps at you and you think, what's your problem? You know, but you don't know the news that they just heard. You don't know the burdens that they're carrying in their life. And these men had this heavy burden. These men had, reason to be upset, reason to be sad. So verse 8, the Bible says, "And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God?" Capital G, God, Elohim. This is important because we don't really see this book as a missionary book, but I believe this is indeed a missionary book. And I believe that Joseph is making a very important truth, or revealing an important truth here to a very superstitious people. Remember, I've mentioned before that they believed in many gods, many false gods. They were polytheistic. They believed in, you know, that there were more than one God, and so they would believe the God of the sky, or the God of the sun, or the moon God, or the God of the rain. They believed in many gods. And you know, of course, Joseph believed in the true living God. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 10, verse 10, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting King." And so when they, in verse number 8, when they said, "Listen, we don't have anyone to interpret the dream," and Joseph said, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" He's saying in that passage of Scripture that interpretations belong to the true God, the living God, one God. And Joseph knew that true living God. Joseph had a relationship with that true God. And it wasn't Joseph making the interpretation. It was God through Joseph that was working in his life. And so I believe that this was also a revelation of the true God. And Joseph was revealing to these men of the true and living God, that this dream could be interpreted by the power of the true God. Your false gods cannot help you. They could not find any interpreters. Their false gods weren't the answer. And Joseph's saying, but the true God, the all-powerful living God, he is the answer. And so we notice, first of all, the butler. So the butler gives Joseph his dream, and we see, first of all, Revelation, verse 9, "And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters therefore brought forth ripe grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in his hand, and he took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, and Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, and yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up his head and restore thee unto the place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup in his hand after the former manner when thou was his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." And so we see, first of all, the dream is simple. It's a vine. It has three branches, and the three branches are budding, they're blossoming, they're producing grapes, and Pharaoh is holding up his cup, and the butler takes those grapes, he presses them into that juice, into Pharaoh's cup, and Joseph is saying, oh, that's easy. I'll tell you the interpretation. Those three branches represent 3 days, and Pharaoh will lift up his head, and he's going to restore you, and in 3 days, everything is going to go back the way that it was. And I mean, this is a blessing. And so among this revelation that Joseph's giving, Joseph also gives him a request. Joseph said, when that day happens, in verse 14, in 3 days, when that day happens, would you please show me kindness? Would you please mention my name to Pharaoh? And we see in this passage of Scripture that Joseph gives the reason. For verse 15 says, for indeed I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon. He says, listen, they took me from my homeland. I'm not even supposed to be in this country. And they put me into this prison. I'm an innocent man. I have done nothing. I've done nothing. And so Joseph's saying, I don't belong here. And so in 3 days, when everything goes back the way it was, can you please mention my name to the Pharaoh? So the baker, number two here, the baker, he hears this. And he's thinking, wow, that's a good interpretation. He's like, wait a minute, I want an interpretation. I want you to tell me what's going to happen in my dream as well. And I mean, he's probably pretty excited about this. In verse 16, the Bible says, and the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good. And he said unto Joseph, as was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uttermost basket, there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds that eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days, yet within the 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up his head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And we notice the details of this dream. The baker said, my dream is simple. I had 3 white baskets on my head, and then those baskets were filled with delicious baked goods. And all of a sudden, the birds came from nowhere, and they started to eat all the baked goods from the top of the baskets on my head. And I don't know what it means. Tell me what it means. And Joseph gives him the doom here. He says, well, I hate to tell you this, buddy, but you're going to die. 3 days. In 3 days, you're going to die, and the birds are going to eat your flesh. The Egyptians would slice someone's head off, and they would put their body and impale it on a post, and the birds would eat the flesh, and that's what Joseph's talking about. You can imagine the shock. You know, I thought you gave good interpretations. And so we see, letter C here, the information. And so all the information that Joseph presented from the Lord came true in verse 20. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. So the Bible says on the 3rd day, just as Joseph interpreted, it was the Pharaoh's birthday. And he made a giant feast, and he invited all of his servants, all of the guests, to come and to gather together for his birthday. And he remembered the butler, and he remembered the baker. And the Bible says in verse 21, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. And so, as we see the passage of Scripture, he restored the butler exactly the way that God told him it was going to happen. Every detail, even the cup, was in Pharaoh's hand, exactly the way that God said it was going to happen. And the Bible says that the baker's head was chopped off, just the same truth that Joseph said. And all the events took place just as God had revealed. And so we come to the very last verse of the chapter, and we'll be done tonight. Notice the implication here, verse 23. The Bible says this. Now, this is where Joseph is now. The Bible says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. You know, I think we can learn something from this. Because, I mean, this is, you know, we can draw application for our own life. This is just not Joseph. Obviously, we know God had a purpose and God had a plan and all of it, and God's timing is always right. But I think we can also remember that when life goes back to normal, we forget the lessons that were learned. right? And I'm sure that when Joseph was telling the butler the interpretation, that he was excited, and I'm sure he said, "Oh yeah, man, I'll remember you. I'll remember you. When I go to Pharaoh, I'll tell him all about you." And it didn't take long before life got back to normal. You know, I remember in the heart of COVID, where churches were closed and people were angry and disappointed and they were longing to go back to church. And I remember people saying, "Oh, I'm so excited to get back to church and for things to go back to normal." And yet it didn't take long for people to forget where they were just a year, 2 years ago. The reality is the Bible warns us to be careful that we don't forget God when times are good. Let me read this passage of Scripture, and this will help us to understand all of it. This is coming from the heart of God, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6. Notice what God tells the people of God. Joseph's, you know, Joseph, not long before that, had lived this. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 6, "Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills that thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, when thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." This is what God says. He says in verse 11, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." Because it's easy to forget the goodness of God when things are good. When things are good. The Bible says, beware. You know, we can get so lost in the blessings that we forget the blesser. We forget the blesser. Life gets busy with its responsibilities and its demands that it's easy to forget God. And the Bible says the butler, he forgot Joseph. Responsibilities took over. He got right back to where he was, where he left off. He, you know, the demands of being a cupbearer. And the Bible says that he forgot Joseph for two full years. The butler forgot about Joseph. But what is Joseph doing? He's waiting. And by the way, Joseph's not waiting on the butler. Joseph's waiting on God. He's waiting on God, and he knows that God has a plan, and we're going to look at that in the next chapter. Now, I know this is our last Wednesday, and technically, officially, that's the end of the study, but next month, we're looking at God. God is great in his mission, and I just think it's important that we finish Joseph's life. It's a wonderful study. I'm learning so much. And so we're going to continue into the next month. We're going to continue with Joseph's life in the next couple of chapters and continue to learn about Joseph's faithfulness to God. And it's a wonderful ending. It's a wonderful ending. All right, let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And we're grateful for your leading in our life. And